spacious skies for amber waves of grain, for purple mountains majesty above the fruited land. America,
well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we welcome your calls out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us on the line our very special friend and a very special guest, John Leffler from Steel on Steel. John, how are you? John, are you there?
I'm here. Hello.
Hello. How are you? How's the weather up there in Coeur d'Alene?
Well, it was sunny until a little while ago. It's turned foggy all of a sudden. We've had really good weather this winter, actually. It's been sunny a lot.
All right. Well, John, of course, does his own program on Steel on Steel. We carry it on our local radio station here every Wednesday evening. And, of course, one of the high points of my week is to hear John saying, well, just because you don't know what's going on in the world doesn't make me a cuckoo. Or how do you say that?
Your failure to be informed doesn't make me a wacko.
I see. Okay. Well, there's so many things going on in the world that the average American really doesn't understand. They really don't understand what we're doing over in the Middle East, fighting for democracy. Gee, that's what we went to the war in the First World War for. And then, of course, why are we having so many problems here at home? Why is it that the people keep voting for morality, and they want to get back to the biblical standards and traditional moral values, and doesn't seem to matter whether we have the Republicans or the Democrats in the White House or even in Congress. They say one thing and then nothing changes. So what's really going on? What should we be concerned about?
Well, Christians as a group always, they used to have things on the top of castles called crenellation. And Christians always shoot at the crenellation while the enemy is always shooting at the foundation. And they can never seem to figure out what the difference is between those two. We've gone through, the culture in Western society has gone through a major paradigm shift, change of philosophy. That's why you see these two views locked in a death struggle. But, for example, whereas Christians will get all upset, say, at the gay marriage proposals or things of that, that's really what's a downstream issue. The issue's already been decided in the minds of large numbers of people, and it's already moving in a given direction. The real battle should have been fought earlier on. But, you mentioned about the fact that people are in Iraq fighting supposedly to defend freedom. And our troops are doing a great job, but they're always going to be undermined by what's going on by the socialist secular crowd that live in the State Department. And the same deal is existing here. My argument has been, and I know it's the same as Ron Paul, we say we're defending freedom, but at the same time we're literally blowing out the foundations of freedom and providing all sorts of end runs around the Constitution. As a matter of fact, Dr. Stan, the last thing that judges want to hear in courts today is the Constitution. Judges will reject constitutional arguments out of hand. So if that's what guarantees us our freedom, how are we going to maintain it, even if our troops blow up every country in the world?
John, we seem to have a poor connection. You're on a regular hard line, aren't you?
No, I'm on a cell phone.
Oh, you are? Okay, fine. Can't get to hard line?
No.
All right, fine. Well, then we'll just do what we have. John Leffler on a cell phone is better than most guests on a hard line. So we'll be back here in just a moment. And I think that John's point is well made. As our troops go overseas to fight for freedom, we're losing our freedom here at home. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our special guest this afternoon, coming to us from Idaho, is John Leffler of Steel on Steel. And if you don't listen to his Steel on Steel programs, either on the Internet or certainly on your local radio station, you're really missing a careful analysis, of well-thought analysis of what's going on today. And John was just talking about what's going on over in Iraq, and our young men are over there fighting for democracy. And yet, of course, America was never a democracy. America was a republic where the power of the central government was to be limited over the lives of the people by the chains of the Constitution. For as Thomas Jefferson had said so well, in matters of politics, speak not to me of confidence in men, but bind them down for mischief with the chains of the Constitution. And yet, we're bringing democracy, which is doomed to failure. Democracies always eventually become despotisms. Plato wrote about that in his Republic, and it has been seen time and again. Alexander Tyler wrote about that at the time America was being created as a nation. That's why we formed a democracy here, pardon me, a republic. And yet our leaders seem to be intent upon bringing democracy to the Middle East. And of course, the Sunnis are saying that they are not going to participate in the election. So we're saying, that's all right, we'll appoint representatives for them. And it's almost like a mockery of the whole process. The elections are going to be held the 30th of January. But I don't believe that there's any possibility that America is going to come home after those elections. Do you, John?
Well, no, for a number of reasons. Number one, we intend to have a presence in that part of the world because everyone knows we're under competition now in the coming oil wars that are less than 5 years away. And also, let's broaden the space out a bit. You know, we just went through this 10-year meeting of the Kyoto Protocol, and everybody's moaning and groaning because the United States didn't sign on to it, nor has Australia, by the way, but they don't catch the level of flack that we do. The Kyoto Treaty is a financial treaty. It is not an environmental treaty. And actually, some of the green groups have admitted finally that Kyoto will do virtually nothing to stop whatever global warming is there. But you watch. Now what's happening is Kyoto is being used as a bargaining chip around the world. And although you may think Kyoto dead, watch the Bush administration pull it out of their pocket when they need to play the bargaining chip games in the year 2005. The reason Russia, for example, signed on to Kyoto was not because they're concerned about the environment, but because of the fact they want membership in the World Trade Organization, so they threw a bone at Europe. Both Europe and Russia also understand that Kyoto will chain us all down here as far as the U.S. economy, and they want to see us hindered so that they can compete more effectively. This is how the game is really played out there. Not what the wild-eyed environmental idealists would like to think.
And I think that's so very important. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is John Leffler, and John has been talking about the Kyoto Protocol and pointing out that this really has nothing to do with global warming. If it had anything to do with global warming, why, there would be restrictions on emission control in China, which is the greatest polluter in the world. There would be restrictions on pollution in India, which is becoming, will soon be the paralleling communist China as they have more and more cars and more industrial production. But John points out the Kyoto Protocol, in truth, is really about economics. It's about limiting the use of energy here in the United States so that we can begin to lower the living standards of the American people. And then the government's going to say, but it's not our fault. We're not doing that. That's law of the world. And after all, we're law-abiding people. And, of course, if industries here want to, of course, to continue polluting, they can buy polluting credits from Russia or from some other country in the world, and they can continue polluting. It has nothing to do with pollution. But, you know what, John, it doesn't really matter how ridiculous something is. If you say it often enough, good people will believe.
Well, it was also interesting that Michael Crichton, by the way, who did Jurassic Park, now gave a speech, and he is panning the whole global warming thing, and he's hit it right on the head. What he has said is, you know, the scientists who had dissenting opinions were regularly suppressed, while those people who had opinions supporting it were funded. But you're right. I mean, we've known this since the UNCED conference in Rio de Janeiro, you know, back in 1992, that this whole thing was about a financial transfer of wealth mechanism, and only on the stage of public consumption is it presented as an environmental treaty. It's not going to do anything. The funny thing is, after the tsunami and earthquake that happened Christmas Day for us here in this part of the world, it was the day after Christmas for Asia, already somebody tried to link that to global warming to keep the panic going. But ironically, they're probably correct in reverse. In other words, they're trying to say global warming would be connected with what happened over there, which is an absurdity. But in reality, we seem to be going through a series of Earth changes that are somehow cyclical in the history of our planet, that are involving volcanic and tectonic activity, along with this very serious concern about the Earth's magnetic field shifting again, and what happens there and what that does to weather, along with recurrent solar cycles. And these things are probably a little closer to the truth. So as I've said every once in a while, a lot of times lately, liberals have been getting things right, but for the wrong reasons.
And I really think it's so very, very important that people understand. For instance, they tell us that the polar ice cap, the North Pole, is melting. That may very well be true. But we're in a gradual warming phase. We have been for the last 200 years. People have forgotten that at one time, Greenland was green. And 1,000 years ago, why, there were grape orchards there where they were growing grapes in northern Scotland. And then, of course, the world went into a cooling time. And then there was an ice age. And then, of course, we're coming out of that ice age now, so things are gradually warming up. But the idea that CO2 emissions into the atmosphere, which make up only maybe 1% or 2% at the most of greenhouse gases, the vast majority of greenhouse gases come from water. How are we going to stop water vapor in the air? But once again, they have an agenda. It has nothing to do with science. It has everything to do with control, with lowering the living standards here in the United States, and, of course, being able to blame that on, the Kyoto Protocol or global warming or something. But as they begin to restrict our use of energy here in the United States, it's going to have a disastrous effect on our ability to be a productive manufacturing center.
Well, what also happens, by the way, Dr. Stan, is we don't stop the emission of hothouse gases because the companies that do it simply go offshore. All they do is take jobs with them and do what we've done already since NAFTA came into effect. They go to countries that aren't shackled down with those things, and the economy gets worse. It was like after the tsunami. I mean, the death toll now is almost at a breathtaking 100,000 is what I think the latest statistics I've seen on that. But what has happened is a member of the UN says, well, the U.S. is being real stingy. Now, you really have to sit back, and you can either cry about this or laugh, because the UN consumes, it is funded largely by the United States. It is a bloated, corrupt, money-consuming bureaucracy, and it sits around and then bites the hand that feeds it out of the midst of all of this. And I don't know. Yeah, like I said, you can either laugh or cry, but those are the directions that we're headed. And the real core issue is that in the public media, for the most part, we can't discuss these issues because the real issues are never brought up. If you watch Hannity and Combs and these other shows from night to night, the real issues that are affecting us are almost never discussed. Or if they are discussed, they are discussed and framed in such a way that you can't get to the core issue, what I call the hard question. Look at the issue over Kyoto. Kyoto has been treated as if it were a voting society. They will say the majority of global scientists, you know, atmosphere, have a consensus that man-made activities is causing global warming. Well, right there, that's a lie to begin with, but all of that aside, science is not a voting society. And you have to ask several hard questions about Kyoto. Number one, is there or is there not global warming? Number two, if there is global warming, is it man-made or is it something part of a greater cycle? And by the way, the evidence is that we're part of a greater cycle, like you described. And number three, even if it is man-made or even part of a greater cycle, will the Kyoto Protocol do anything to stop it? The answer is no. And scientists admitted that in the McCain hearings before the Senate a few weeks ago. They admitted that Kyoto would not do anything to reverse global warming, but then they blurted out, oh, but it's a good start. And this is the kind of consensus thinking we have today. We no longer deal with facts. We deal with emotions, sound bites, and slogans. And you started out by asking a question earlier on in the program about the church. I mean, let me give you an example. The church should know better why constitutional rights are in place. They were intended as a bulwark by the people who wrote them. The same thing as the Ten Commandments. As I always say, what part of shall not be infringed do you not understand? Christians should know that mankind as a whole has a penchant towards evil. And because of that, you set limits. But they're buying into the idea now that, well, lo and behold, we have a living, breathing constitution, or that things can change. But instead of standing on the rights and saying, wait a minute, these rights, this could unleash mischief on us in the near future, because what if these principles are applied elsewhere, and you know they will be, because they always are, they will say, oh, but we need to stand behind our, quote, good Christian President George Bush, and behind Attorney General John Ashcroft. They wouldn't do anything bad, blah, blah, blah. I never accept that as an argument. That is an unacceptable argument.
Yeah, what happens if the next president is Hillary Clinton
or somebody who just doesn't respect these things? We have always noticed, Dr. Stan, whether it was RICO laws, forfeiture laws, even some of the laws under the Patriot Act 1, if government can use them, they will. And the problem we have now, the definitions under these things are so floating and so vague that they can virtually be applied to anybody. But I even heard a conservative talk show host making an argument that, well, I believe we need these laws, but we just shouldn't apply them to non-terrorists, and we should slap the hands of those agents that do. And I thought, you stupid, stupid man. Because if you have a law, it's going to be applied by government to anyone to whom they can apply it to. That's the way law is. And if you don't want it to be, don't pass the law. And so that's the kind of thinking. The biggest problem we have in the church today is illiteracy. And by that I mean, maybe people can read and write, but Christians know very little about their own history, they know very little about church history, they know very little about anything, and they tend to follow along in groupies behind various leaders.
Well, of course, John, the argument is, look, why should I worry if they increase the power of the federal government? As long as I'm not doing anything bad, as long as I'm a law-abiding citizen, I have nothing to fear. How would you respond to that argument?
That's absolutely absurd, because I would have no trouble lining up thousands of people who have been caught. Paul Craig Roberts calls it the law of unintended consequences. I mean, let me give you an example. Say we have a 1,000-foot firearms law around schools or something of that nature, and I have a concealed weapons permit, and I carry, this is a theoretical, and I carry a weapon wherever I go. That may not be common in California, but it's very, very common in other states, the more conservative states. But if I drive through a school zone, well, technically I'm violating some law somewhere, even though I have no intention whatsoever, you know, to violate the law or to shoot up the school. If I go into the post office in the course of doing business, because after somebody went postal a few years ago, we created all these laws saying not even people with legitimate reasons can't even bring the weapons onto postal property. This is what's called the law of unintended consequences. And the more laws you have, and the more vague they are, the more they will sweep up innocent people in their ranks who will spend jail time. It will wreck lives and financial fortunes in the execution of these. And as I've said, over the 15 years my show's been on the air, we would have no trouble lining up dozens upon dozens of people who have been snared into these things that were innocent victims of these laws.
And we find hundreds of people now getting off a death row because they were put there improperly by overzealous prosecutors who really weren't interested in law. They were interested in getting somebody and getting a feather in their cap. And when we have an immoral society, when we have a society that's turned its back on God and God's laws, no man's life or property or family are really safe. We've got to get back to biblical law, and we've got to limit the power of government. That was what America was all about. We would limit the power of government because men would look to God for guidance. Our laws were based upon God's laws. Take God out of the law, and then you've got the law of man, and man's law can be very, very ruthless.
Well, true. And, you know, I remember watching, there was a case in Texas where a gentleman had, you need to do a break.
Well, we got about 45 seconds.
A man in Texas had been convicted of rape 10 years earlier. Later on, genetics testing, which wasn't available at the time of the trial, showed that he absolutely could not have done it. But the prosecuting attorney there said, oh no, even though we know he's innocent, the system has spoken and we must have closure. He's talking about consensus. When we have the consensus, his guilt or innocence is not important. What's important is that he played the legal game.
And we'll be back in just a moment with John Leffler. We'll welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But remember, when a nation turns its back on God, sooner or later, God turns his back on that nation.
we have a brand new video today on the Oklahoma City bombing. It's called Oklahoma, What Really Happened. And of course, it consists of a lot of never-before-seen video footage. Now, it was seen in Oklahoma City immediately following the bombing of the Murrah Building, but blacked out across America. And in this footage, you're going to see the commentators talking about the other bombs that were in the building at the time of the initial bombing. We're told, of course, that Timothy McVeigh acted independently. We're told many things by the media, but wherein does the truth lie? Oklahoma City, what really happened, it will give you the opportunity to see long-suppressed video footage of what really transpired. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for Oklahoma City, what really happened.
And that's called Cover Up in Oklahoma City is the name of the video.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In the 1970s, there was a group of Italian immigrants in the small town of Rosetto, Pennsylvania, who drew worldwide attention for their unusual cardiovascular health, despite their pasta diets. I recently uncovered the fact that their unusual health was attributed to the precious red wine which they imported from Italy. Today we know this as the French paradox, the fact that the French exhibit greater cardiovascular health, despite their fatty diet, because of the red wine they drink. Wouldn't it be great to enjoy the health benefits of red wine without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives? Well, now you can with Longevinex, the world's first stabilized red wine molecules preserved in an airtight capsule just like in a sealed bottle of red wine, equivalent to 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex for healthy aging without the calories and alcohol. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763. 9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done, get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is John Leffler of Steel on Steel. And, John, why don't you tell our listeners how they can listen to your programs? Maybe they want to listen to them on a regular basis, and they'll probably get pretty well addicted to it.
I do use the tactics of a good drug peddler. Let's put it that way. They can visit us, because I know your listeners there can hear us on some of the stations in California, but not everywhere. You can hear us on steelonsteel.com. That's steel like the metal. There's no E after there. And for your listeners, we'll give them a month's free subscription if they just use the word Stan. Wonder where I got that one from. As a login and a password to listen to the shows, they can get an idea of what it's like. So
they just say Stan. Can I listen too?
Let's make, yeah, you can. Dr. Stan will make it. How's
all
that?
Right, fine.
Dr. Stan, so there we are.
Dr. Stan, so you can go ahead and you can listen for a month, and maybe you want to subscribe. It's not that expensive, and it's a great program. A lot of thought, you know, I have to do 5 hours a day. I don't have the time to put the thought and planning that John does into his programs, and he not only has the only wealth of information, but then he does another program, Jim Poplava, who's one of the more astute financial advisors, and he produces that program. And so he's right on the cutting edge of what's happening economically here in this country as well.
You want to get bored, I listen to Radio Liberty at night.
Well, anyway, you know, there's just so many things that are going on today. And we, as we went to the break, I was just talking about the fact that the Christians in this country really are going right along with what's going on. As long as we have a man in the house who says he's a Christian, why we can sit back and say, well, we don't really have to do much of anything, despite the fact that abortions continue just as they always have. They continue corrupting our children in schools. We talk about pornography on the internet. Oh, we've got to get a filter certainly our computer at home so our child is not watching pornography. Ladies and gentlemen, you should know what they're teaching your kids in school. I mean, you think that pornography is bad on the net, you should go to the sex education classes in our schools today. And it is all part of a conscious effort to corrupt the minds of our children and turn them against God and family and country, and they're going to destroy their religious beliefs as they teach them evolution, because evolution is true. Then the parents and the church are lying. God, there is no God, and the Bible is incorrect. So our educational system is being used to destroy our children, and instead of speaking out against it, the Christian church goes right along with it. Oh, we couldn't have every church being a school. After all, there are lots of public school teachers who attend church, and we wouldn't want to offend anybody. We wouldn't want to offend homosexuals. We wouldn't want to offend the teachers who go to attend our churches. And so we sort of drift on as if somehow things are going to get better with no moral leadership. And I look across the country, where are our moral leaders today, John? John, are you still there?
Still here. I had a little tech problem there for a second.
Okay, fine. I thought you were going to leave me there.
No, you know, you made an interesting point, two of them that I think about all the time. Number one is, one of the answers I've started to use to Christians who talk to me now is I will ask them, I say, name one major trend, one, just one, that's ever been reversed by anything we've done in the last 20 years since Christian Coalition and all of these other groups have jumped up and down and begun pounding the pavement about voting this and voting that. And the answer is zero. Nothing has changed. Everything has continued. The trend lines have continued virtually unabated, maybe up here and down there a bit. Maybe we've improved some things for homeschoolers here and there. But beyond that, that's pretty much the bottom line of the whole thing. But the second thing is, well, why is that? Well, because what happens is when we send our kids to public school, they are being taught a dialectical secularist philosophy. And Christian teachers who get their training certificate, who get their teaching certificate, usually going through a master's program and then a teacher's certificate, are trained in the process of the dialectic. So in church on Sundays, they will believe one way. In school on Mondays, they will believe another way, not realizing they have two radically different opposing philosophies in their minds. And every time I speak publicly, I'll mention some things about public education, usually in churches is where I'm talking, and I'll have teachers come up to me, and they want to assure me, Dr. Stan, that in their schools, these things aren't going on. And so I'll ask, well, are you using the normal textbooks? And they go, yes. I said, then it is happening in your school. That philosophy is being taught. The philosophy is riddled even through mathematics questions, Dr. Stan. The SAT tests are pregnant with politically correct questions, riddled all the way through subjects like mathematics and everything else like that. It is an integrated indoctrination system. You can't put your kids in that buzzsaw if you want them to come out with a didactic Christian worldview.
And, of course, they're using our educational system, even in mathematics and English and history, to indoctrinate them that homosexuality is perfectly normal. After all, there were homosexuals in ancient Rome and Greece, weren't they? And even Abraham Lincoln was probably a homosexual. We'll be right back here with John Leffler.
if there's any one tape that you should hear, it's my talk on geopolitics, an untold story that is vitally important if America is to survive as a free nation. It goes into the background of the forces that have created the wars of the 20th century, the Boer War, the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. We go into the ideological and the spiritual battle behind the forces that have moved America from crisis to crisis and are currently undermining the very fabric of our society. That number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and the tape, Geopolitics. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of my talk on geopolitics.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just want to mention we do carry the Berkey products. We carry the Big Berkey. We carry the...
Hi, I'm Michael Anthony Perucchi, the cup.
This is Dr. Stan, and that was a voice out of the past, our good friend Michael Perutka. But right now, I just want to mention, we do carry the Big Berkey, we carry the Berkey Light water filters, and if you are in an area we have fluoridated water, well, you certainly want to get this. You do not want to drink fluoridated water. And, of course, if you are in an area where you don't have fluoridated water, you want to improve the taste, or you want to be sure that you've got most of the herbicides or pesticides or the other things that are in the water out of it, that it's really safe to drink. Why the Big Berkey, the Berkey Light, are standards all across America. If you want to see them, you can go to our website at radioliberty.com, www.radioliberty.com. You can see the pictures of them. If you want to order them through us, the number 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And if you buy them through us, you get a free video or a tape set we produced. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and our guest this afternoon is John Loeffler. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you have a question or comment. As John and I peruse what's happening, and the great tragedy is the church is not speaking out about what's happening. If you go, we have a wonderful book. It's called Hitler's Cross. It was written by Erwin Lutzer, who is the senior pastor at the Moody Bible Church in Chicago. And Hitler's Cross is the story of what happened in Hitler's Germany and how the church responded to it. It's like, well, you read that book, it's like deja vu all over again. There were certainly a few ministers who had the courage to speak out, people like Martin Niemöller or Bonhoeffer, but most of them went right along, and they were preaching Romans 13. I mean, Paul's message to the Romans, not to oppose the Roman Empire. There was nothing they could do about it, to go along with it. But America is entirely different. God gave us a Christian nation. And, of course, we have lost that Christian nation. Because, of course, the Christians have been told not to be involved. Politics are bad, and they infiltrated our seminaries 50 years ago to train ministers to neutralize the church so that they would not get people involved in what's going on. And the idea that all we have to do is vote for the Republican Party, look and see what the Republicans are doing. I mean, they may say that they're against abortion, but they could stop abortion tomorrow with majorities in the House and the Senate and the presidency by simply an executive order and saying to the Supreme Court, you can't make a decision on that. We limit your appellate jurisdiction. And is it happening? It's not. And they have no intention of really stopping it. They're going to say what you want to hear. But look and see what they really do. Well, let's go to Fred, who's calling from Salinas. Fred, did you have a question for our guest?
Yes, I had a question. I've been seeing some real in-depth interviews from the school system that they're teaching more of a group think now rather than individual thought. Could he explain why they're teaching that rather than people to think for themselves?
All right, John, that's a very good point. This whole idea of group think, everything is group learning. You hold the really smart kids back until the child that doesn't understand can catch up with them, because we really don't want anybody to excel. We're a training for mediocrity. That's my idea. What are your thoughts, John?
Yeah, there's an old comment from I heard from an attorney who about homeschooling, and when his members of his family say, well, if you homeschool, your kids won't be socialized. He said, well, that's a good start because I'm not raising little socialists. Okay, and what he means is that is the dialectical process in the schools is identical to the communitarian think that was used in the Soviet Union. It's no different. That's where we got it. You can trace the whole roots of this. And the concept is that the greater is better than the parts. And so everybody else has to go along with the greater good. Therefore, we all must act as parts together rather than people acting as individuals. Individualism is the unpardonable sin of the new paradigm, which is what the old didactic method is. That is why, for example, today, if you talk to young people, now when I was 20, Dr. Stan, I was not many miles from where you're sitting right there, writing and producing news for KCBS News Radio in San Francisco. At 20 years old, I was writing and interviewing important people. Today, I wouldn't even think about turning that over to a 20-year-old as product of the public education system, simply because I've discovered these young people, tragically, have never been taught to think for themselves. They have no idea of history. They have a distorted concept of history. Their language skills are awful, and it goes onwards. But as a result now, you have a very moldable population who are very susceptible to manipulation, and that's what socialists like, because now we can move them towards our greater socialized goal of global socialism. And the educators have made no secret about it.
Okay, does that answer your question, Fred?
That pretty much says the whole thing.
Okay, I think John's course is very accurate on that. The other thing I've been really contemplating recently, as I've been doing my studies on fluoridation and the use of NutraSweet and the use of mercury in vaccines, all of these are highly toxic to the brain. And, of course, you go back and you read what they were writing 50 years ago, what the Germans were talking about, how, if you fluoridated the water, get large doses of fluoride into people, they became more docile, they weren't very smart. We know, of course, you can knock 10 points off the IQ in areas of China where they have significant levels of fluoride, but no larger than our children get, because they don't really get fluoride in their water. They get it in their food, and they get it in their drinks, and they get it already from even in their cornflakes, if you can believe. Leave that in their porridges. Why, so I think that really we are intensely damaging the brains of our kids. I was talking to a professor of chemistry the other day, and he was just saying, that he sees the gradual decline of the intellect of the young people coming into his college chemistry classes. And these are different than the students were 20 or 30 years ago. Dramatically different. And I asked him this question: do you think that the widespread use of fluoride, and it used to be they would give the kids fluoride tablets, as soon as they got out of the nursery, and their vitamins, they'd get that, and yet this is toxic to the brain. And he said, I've never thought of that, but that certainly could be a factor. But nobody wants to talk about that. We want to blame the educational process. Have you ever considered that as a possibility, John?
I think they're all factors, Dr. Stan. And whether it's by intent or default, it doesn't make any difference, does it? If I shoot you accidentally or shoot you deliberately, the result for you is pretty much the same. You're shot. And that's what I always argue. I don't have to go far. But I'm appalled. I spend a lot of time running into young people as I go about my task during the day. And I take time to talk with them and to joke with them and to see what's going on. I was at a Marie Callender's yesterday, and they have two young people there at the front desk, and they have a gas fireplace to the right. And so I pointed over to the fireplace, and I said, gee, how many logs do you go through every day there in the fireplace? And it was a joke. And they both sort of stare at you with this blank stare. That's what horrifies me is, first of all, you want to hold up a little sign saying, this is a joke. You may laugh now. But the second thing is they don't have the wit to come back with a counter one like, oh, about 52 logs, but we can't figure out why. It's a gas fireplace. You know what I'm talking about. I'm finding they can't understand humor. They don't grapple with much of anything. One night at the supermarket, I was just thrilled to find a young man. He was writing a paper for high school. He said, well, I said, what you been up to lately? And, you know, Brad or whatever his name is. And he said, well, I'm writing a paper on hate crimes. And I thought, oh, this is interesting. He said, well, I think we should have hate crimes for racial things, but I don't think it should apply to gay groups and special interest groups and whatever. And I looked at him, I said, I don't think we should have it at all. And he looked at me and I said, why don't you help me out with my groceries? Because they always do that. And for 2 minutes I explained to him why hate crimes are just a very bad idea, because they distort the whole administration of law, making some people more guilty than others for the same crime. And how hate crimes attempt to police thought, rather than what we have always done in this country, was to police action. So I've told people, you know, I don't agree with a lot of different groups, but hate has to be protected, because we don't know what hate is really, and who defines what hate is, and it's so very easy for someone to define my political attitudes as hate, or yours. So this was a young man who at least had some little spark going in there, but he still had mush in his head, because he was part of the public education system, and I had to start straightening him out and say, look at what you're doing here. Understand what you're creating.
You know, it's the most amazing thing, John, as I meet children who are homeschooled, you know, and they look you in the eye, and they shake hands with you, and they carry on an intelligent conversation. They're curious, and, of course, they're looking for knowledge. And then I meet the kids come out of government schools with the long hair and the slouchy attitude and the low-slung trousers, girls with you can see their belly button all the time, a blouse is never long enough. You know, an entirely different outlook on the world. And it's really so sad. They look like the young people, in this film we're offering now. They sold their souls for rock and roll. And, of course, they listen to this music. They go to school. Their faith in everything is destroyed. They don't even know where they're going and what they want to do. And they'd be 25, 30 years old. They're still looking for, how shall I spend my life?
Right. And that's very true. My daughter just graduated summa cum laude in science. And she was homeschooled. When she went to the first couple of years to college at the local junior college, her professors kept saying, where'd you go to high school? And she said, I was homeschooled. And their first comment was always, it shows. My younger son, who sits in the radio studio a lot while I'm doing shows, loves to jump into political conversations with adults. And I've been in the process of teaching the thing called tact, that, yes, there are political attitudes. But the interesting thing is they have sparks. And the first time this came home to me was back in 1994. We went to Thanksgiving dinner with a bunch of homeschool families. We didn't even know. We were invited up. This is when I was doing Steel on Steel in Denver. And we had dinner, and we talked around the table. And after dinner, we cleared up everything, did the dishes. And the adults sat around to talk, and we're discussing different issues from politics to I don't know what. And the teenagers pulled up chairs and sat down and began listening and asking questions and whatever. And about a half hour into the conversation, I began looking around, and you know how you have this thing in the back of your head, something's wrong with this picture? And as we were driving home, I was going, I figured out what it was. The teenagers were sitting there interacting with the adults at an intelligent level, and you just don't see that anymore. My insurance agent's son, I was talking, he came into the house one day, and I said, hi, Ryan, how you doing? I think I got a grunt out of him. What's he up to? Nothing. And then he hurried off to busy himself with that nothing that he was talking about. And I wanted to go chase him down the hallway to his bedroom and say, excuse me, is it my deodorant? Do I have bad breath? Or what is it? Why is it you suddenly lose the capacity to speak when you talk to an adult? My kids won't. Like I said, I have to restrain my son from engaging adults in political conversation. I had to teach him, sometimes you're going to step on somebody's toes and it's going to come back in your face. But I don't understand what this is. By the way, this was a Dewey-eyed concept, Dr. Stan, is we began to stratify kids in grades. And so what these kids are doing is they're modeling after each other in the grade schools rather than modeling from vertically from adults. In the old schoolroom and in homeschool situations and some private school situations, they can model after the adults and the people above them who are further along the road. That's the way it was intended to be. In public schools, you're grouped with everybody your own age. Where doctors stand in life, not even in the military, will you be grouped and working with someone who is strictly in your age bracket. So the most abnormal situation is a government school where you're in a class with your own age group and not interacting with any other groups above and below you.
Well, let's
and that's what we miss.
Well, let's go to Roger calling from Pennsylvania. Roger, do you have a question for our guest?
And it's unfortunate that our kids these days, I guess, just about need a master's degree in sophistry, logical non sequiturs, before they can safely.
Okay, did you have a question?
Yeah, and if you please, I'd like to pound out those two toll-free numbers to the Capitol Hill switchboard as well to, among other things, try to beat off the Arlen Specter judicial appointment.
All right, fine. Go ahead. Get them if you'd like to, Roger.
Yeah, and I wanted to. What you've been talking about, a lot of people wouldn't pick this up unless by osmosis somehow, but they don't realize that what they absorb in school these days is in large part that secular philosophy has, for the last several generations, almost universally become existentialist in orientation, and it's come to the logical conclusion, wrong of course, that in the epistemology or theory of knowledge, it's impossible to know anything for certain.
That's because the whole idea there are no absolutes. Well, yeah, I agree with you totally, Roger.
Correct.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and so people don't realize that that little sleight of hand has been put over on them, and they don't realize that pervades really all the curricula. Okay, and those two toll-free numbers are 877-762-8762 and 800-839-5276. Again, 877-762-8762 and 800-839-5276. I hope they try to defeat Arlen Specter's nomination to the Judiciary Committee and the Free Trade of the Americas, as well as in February, there's going to be a big push for more hate crimes on the federal level. God bless you all.
Fine. Thanks so much, Roger. But I will tell you that the Bush administration will back both Arlen Specter and the Free Trade of the Americas legislation. It behooves us to oppose them on this. Arlen Specter is a corrupt and evil man. He was, of course, one of the few Republicans to switch to the Democrats and, of course, oppose the impeachment of Bill Clinton. But you know, why should you be surprised that he's been, the reason he's a senator, is he was the counsel for the Warren Commission. He created the idea, the magic bullet that could make frequent right angle turns and go through the president and go through Governor Connally and then make two or three right angle turns to end up in Governor Connally's left thigh. He was rewarded by being made a president, and he's been supported by the administrations, both Democrat and Republican, ever since then, as reward for his fine service to the country. So I think Arlen Specter will be the next head of the Judiciary Committee. And then when he blocks good, you know, God-fearing people from getting judicial appointments, people will all say, oh, it was that wicked Arlen Specter. And, of course, as far as the Free Trade Zone of the America, I would encourage people to call and let your senators and representatives know that this is simply one more nail in the economic coffin of America, but the Bush administration will twist every arm and break every arm there to get the legislation through, because their dedication is to globalism. Go ahead.
You know, it was nice to hear Roger use the word epistemology. You know, it just is an important point that he made, and that is, it is not what you were taught in public school so much as the process of thinking in which you are indoctrinated. And he's right about the assumption. We've switched from the belief that you were, that there were certain facts you could know or not know, to a belief that no facts can be known definitely, except, by the way, that is a self-destructing philosophy, because it asserts the fact that we can't know facts. So it destroys itself. But when you are in the school, you will be, your child will be taught very much like the Marxists used to teach, a dialectical, communitarian type of thinking where there are no absolute truths. I've had pastors complain to me, I don't understand this. We have Bible studies for the high school youth. That doesn't stop them from using drugs. That doesn't stop them from shacking up with each other. It's nothing. He said, I don't understand what's going on. And I sat this pastor down one day, and I said, you need to understand, Pastor. It's not what you teach, but the process of how you teach. And what happens is because of this dialectical process, conflicting truths can exist in the same mind simultaneously. So when it comes to going to youth group, they're happy. And when it comes to sleeping with their girlfriend, they're happy too. There's no conflict in their minds because they're taught in the public schools there can be no conflict.
And, of course, anything goes. There are no absolutes. There's no right or wrong. And, of course, until we get back to a moral foundation and we go back to the Ten Commandments, God's got plenty of rules there. And if we just abide by them, we wouldn't be having the problems we are today. But then the Supreme Court took the Ten Commandments out of our schools, didn't they? John Loeffler, thanks very much for being with us. It's always a pleasure.
God bless, Dr. Stan. Sorry it was hard getting hold of you.
Oh, no, not at all. Look forward to having you again real soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam and Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia, at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City, what really happened with TWA 800, the went down off the eastern coast about a year ago? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working on the Oklahoma City bombing. Now, this book has been suppressed very effectively across America, and it's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book I know that'll give you more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I just want to mention some of the things on education, because what has happened is they took over our schools a long time ago, and they knew if they could gain control of the minds of the children, that they could eventually control the nation. So we have books, one excellent book by our good friend Barrett Schoes called Brave New Schools, and it's a takeoff on Aldous Huxley's book, A Brave New World. But, of course, this is Brave New Schools, telling up there's an intentional process to dumb down our children and not to teach them properly. Then we carry Charlotte Isabey's excellent book, The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America. The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America. We have John Stormer's book called None Dare Call It Education. And you must understand what is happening is not by accident. It's by intent. The people who are doing this know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want the parents to know. We carry, of course, the New World Order, the Chronology of Education for the New World Order, Dr. Dennis Cuddy's book, and it will give you a tremendous background into how this whole system works. So if you'd be interested in certainly getting any of these books, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. We have a 4-tape set on outcome-based education, and whether you call it No Child Left Behind or outcome-based education or a workforce education, it's all part of the same idea of not educating our children well. That's why our children have to go to junior college for a couple of years before they get into regular college, because, most of them, even when they get to regular college, they have to take bonehead English and bonehead math. This has not happened by accident. It's been deliberately dumbing down of our children. My concern is how much damage have they done with the fluoride, with the mercury, and with the aspartame, because all of these affect the minds of our children. All of them are neurotoxic, and they know they are. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our telephone number here, 1-800-544-8927. We certainly have been talking with John Loeffler about global warming, about this whole scam that's going on today. And, of course, what people really don't understand, there is a master plan. It was laid out in the second Earth Summit meeting in Rio de Janeiro in 1992, and then was published as something called the Global Biodiversity Assessment. That's the Global Biodiversity Assessment, published by Cambridge University Press. You can order that through your local bookstore. It's 1,152 pages of terribly boring reading, and yet all the basic increments are there. Now, we have summarized that in our Sustainable Development Syllabus. And there, of course, you'll learn about the Georgia Guidestones, the population control agenda, where they really tend to eliminate countless millions of people, billions of people throughout the world. And people say nothing could be that evil. That could never happen. Well, I would suggest that it not only can happening, it's in the process of happening. That's why we outlawed DDT. So more people would die of malaria. That's why we're not trying to stop the AIDS epidemic. We keep talking about it, but we're not using any standard public health techniques. They know how to stop the epidemic. We're not allowed to do it. Over 500,000 Americans have died. Another million are infected. And, of course, it's all part of population control. Same thing is happening throughout the world today. You really need to get the Sustainable Development Syllabus. You'll get a copy of the Earth Charter, which is the Mein Kampf for impoverishing the American people, written by Gorbachev, Stephen Rockefeller, and Maurice Strong, who's the man who really runs the United Nations. He's the Assistant Secretary General there, a man behind Kofi Annan. And, of course, we have the World Bank water policy. They're going to control the water. They're not trying to solve the water problems. They want the problems so that they can control the populace. So much in the Sustainable Development Syllabus. If you don't have a copy, you need to get it. And then, of course, you need, of course, to get either the four-tape set or the video that goes with the Sustainable Development Syllabus. And we'll explain to you how it all fits together. There is a master plan. We have another video, more recent, up-to-date. It's called Sustainable Development on the Road to World Government. I think it's the title. But anyway, Sustainable Development Update videotape. All of this is available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And, of course, we hope that you'll get this. We give you our permission to copy any of the things that we have actually put together, just so long as you're not making a profit on them. But we want that information out far and wide. And then if you'd like a free copy of our November newsletter, and I think it's a rather good one, it goes into the background of how fluoride is being used for population control, because it lowers the testosterone level. You wonder why so many men are having sexual dysfunction. They know it lowers the testosterone level. They just don't want you to know that. How the fluoride actually decreases fertility and how it increases miscarriages in animals, and we can assume it does the same thing in human beings, and all the various toxic effects, produces hypothyroidism, epidemic in America today. So if you'd like to get a free copy of our November newsletter, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, if you'd like to get our four-tape set on fluoride or our four-tape set on aspartame and NutraSweet, if you'd like to get our four-tape set on mercury or any of the videos or books that go with that, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And your job is to get informed and then start talking to other people to find out what they may very well be interested in and get them to realize that they've been lied to by the controlled media, and they've been lied to by people they put their faith in who really don't understand because they've been lied to in medical school or in dental school. And then, of course, pray for America. Pray for revival. Please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. Until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.